1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, as we look at faithfulness. That is our theme for the year 2020, and that is what every Christian should be striving for, that is faithfulness. It is a requirement of God's servants to be faithful. Maybe when we hear the word faithful, we think of some things in our life or maybe in our memory or in our knowledge that we consider to be faithful things. We have Old Faithful. It's a geyser in Yellowstone National Park that you can almost set your watch by it. Every 90 minutes, it erupts, and that's why it's called Old Faithful, because very rarely does it ever deviate from that 90-minute schedule. Maybe you think of another landmark or place that is we considered faithful, Big Ben in London, England. Over 160 years old, and during the 20th century, it only broke down 18 times in 100 years. 18 times in 100 years. That's pretty good. I think our watches aren't that good. Maybe you think of some other things that are faithful. But now let's look at the Bible. We know that God is faithful. Amen. We know He is faithful. We know God's Word is faithful. And we might begin to think, well, what does faithful mean? And the synonym could be dependable. That always knowing that it's going to be there. You know, if you are faithful, then someone is going to always know that you are going to be there. Now, all of us are fallible. We're all human beings. But one whom we know will always be there is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is faithful. But this morning, we're going to focus on the requirement for Christians to be faithful. Well, faithful to what? Faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful in our service to Him. And this morning, we're going to look at faithfulness. We are not faithful to be seen of man. We are faithful because God is going to be the one that will judge our life whether we have been faithful to Him or not. And this morning, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Our theme verse for this year is 1 Corinthians 4, 2. But we're going to look at the verses before and after it and the context of this verse in that we are going to be judged before God for our faithfulness to Him. And beginning in verse number 1, it begins, God's Word says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing before we continue this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I pray that as we look at examples of faithfulness in your word, and those servants of yours who were faithful, I pray this morning that we would see the results of faithfulness in our life. And Lord, I pray that this year we would be more faithful at this moment and during this year than we have ever been before in our life. For Lord, that is what will win the race and win the battle, is faithfulness and steadfastness. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to you as Paul was and Peter and many others we could name of your word, dear Lord, that you have given to us as an example. I pray that we would have that same faithfulness and steadfastness in our heart. I pray that you guide and direct the message. Give me the word to say this morning. For Lord, I know nothing. All I know is your word. And I pray that you'd give me the right word to say, and that hearts will be touched and changed by your power and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled "Striving for Faithfulness." Striving for faithfulness. That should be the goal of every single Christian. We just quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, "Moreover," meaning pay attention to what has been said before. It is required. It's not a suggestion. It is not a an option. Well, if you want to be faithful, then you can be a steward. And what is he talking about here? In verse number one, he talks about being entrusted with the mysteries of God, with the Word of God, with the doctrines of the Bible. Every single Christian is entrusted with the Bible, is entrusted with the truth of God's Word. And this was the faithfulness that Paul is talking about here, in that he doesn't care what man thinks of his faithfulness. And we begin to think, well, what about our testimony? We should care about our testimony. But at the end of the day, Paul's motivation was not to be said of by men that he was faithful. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to be said that he would be faithful before God. Because if you look down here at verse number 5, it's a very interesting statement that is made here. Verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." A person who is faithful, and we can look at people and look at people's lives. I can name off some people that I know that are not at this church and some people that are at this church that I consider to be faithful people. But at the end of the day, I don't really know if they're faithful or not because I can't see their heart. I can't see their mind. I don't know what goes on in the background. I don't know what goes on in the private and secret places of hearts and minds. But at the end of the day, that's why Paul says, you know what, I don't care what men say. If I care so much about what men think, and I live to be seen of by men to be faithful, it is possible for me to appear faithful, but be unfaithful in my heart. But his accountability was a higher accountability. He was wanting to be accountable, and he is accountable to the God of heaven, who sees and knows all and is the only one who can truly say that we have been faithful, that we have really kept the faith, that we have really run the race, that we have not done it for ourselves but only for the praise and glory of God. And if we're really to be that genuine, faithful Christian, we need to make some decisions. And this morning, we're going to look at some of the results of faithfulness. But right down here, verse number 5 near the end, this is a powerful statement. What was Paul's goal? That he would have praise of God. We don't think of that. We think of praising God ourselves and giving him all glory and majesty. But if we are faithful and we stand before God and he judges what we have done, we will have praise of God. That is a humbling statement. Paul said, that's what I'm shooting for. I'm not shooting for the praise of men. I want to have the praise of God. To hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is what Paul was living for. But what will faithfulness result in? And what's what we're going to look at this morning? We're going to look at four characters of the Bible and how they were faithful and what it brought in their life. So we're going to look at first at Moses. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 this morning and beginning in verse number 6. Moses, the prophet Moses, the leader of the children of Israel. He led them out of bondage by the power of God. God used him to bring many miracles, and God used him to lead a people, and God gave him compassion and gave him wisdom. Oh, what a wonderful man Moses was. Moses made his mistakes, but overall, we would definitely count him as a faithful person. We would look at his life, and we would see all the wonderful things that he did. And we would see that, of course he would be counted faithful. But remember what Paul said, it doesn't matter what man says. What is the record of God about Moses? That's what we're going to look at, what God said of him. Not only in one place, but also in several others. We only have time to look at one this morning. Numbers chapter 12, beginning in verse number 6. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So what is going on here? This is when Miriam and Aaron decided to get jealous of what Moses had been doing. It began in verse number 1 that they were complaining and grumbling because of the wife of Moses, that he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they began to talk badly about him and went to him and were complaining. And verse number 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? Hath not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. That's a scary thing. The Lord heard it. Oh, sometimes we get light about things we say. The Lord hears all things. Oh, we'll give account for every idle word, the Bible says. And this is what happened, that they were complaining. And they were saying, well, why is Moses so important? Because hasn't God used us? Why is Moses more important than we are? And God told them why he was more important than they were, because Moses was faithful. And the faithfulness, and that's number one this morning, faithfulness results in responsibility. Faithfulness results in responsibility. If you are faithful, then God is going to bring some responsibilities into your life. You know, there are some people that are seeking for responsibility. Many young people are like this. They say, we want to do something important. We want to have a responsibility. We want to be in charge of something. We want to do something great for God. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do something great for God, but you got to be faithful first. You got to be faithful. If you're going to be a teacher in a Sunday school class or in children's church or work in a ministry, you need to be faithful first. Amen. And we have guidelines here at the church of things that you need to have in place in your life in order to be qualified to teach a class. You know why? Because those things show a testimony of faithfulness. And Moses was given the responsibility of leading an entire nation because Moses had been faithful. He had been in Midian. He had been there in the backside of the desert. He had been a shepherd and attending those sheep. But guess what? He had been faithfully doing it. And we look at these things and we look at the Word of God. And remember, God doesn't do anything in a vacuum. We look at God calling Abram, out of Ur of the Chaldees, to go and send him to a city which he did not know, and whose builder and maker was God, that he went on faith. And so, well, Abraham didn't worship God. He was a pagan. All of a sudden, God appeared to him in a dream, and he goes, heads out in the desert. That's not how God works. Abraham had been faithful. Abraham had been doing right in the sight of God. Moses had been faithful. Now, he was given a responsibility. Also, the Bible says that Moses was a very meek man. Moses was a meek and a humble man. And God gave him that responsibility because he had been faithful. God gave him that responsibility because he was humble, because he knew he could depend on Moses and that Moses would depend on God for all that he needed. That's true faithfulness. Faithfulness. And if we want to have responsibility in the house of God or in our life, if we want to have that responsibility, we need to be faithful. A second result of faithfulness will result in dependability. Look at Genesis chapter 39. We're going to look at Joseph. Joseph was a faithful man. Joseph, we know, had the coat of many colors and that his brothers conspired against him to kill him. But instead, they decided, instead of killing him, to cast him into a pit and then sell him to the Ishmaelites, sell him into slavery. And we know that he went to Potiphar's house and that he was a servant there, a faithful servant, and he was serving faithfully, and Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he would hear none of it, and he ran, and Potiphar's wife lied about him and said that he was trying to force himself on her, and she screamed, and he ran out, and it was a complete lie, and Potiphar was enraged and threw him into prison. Now, Joseph's in prison. And the keeper of the prison entrusted Joseph. Also, Potiphar entrusted Joseph with certain responsibilities. And Joseph was such a faithful person and so dependable that the person, right here, let's read here, Genesis 39, verse number 6. Joseph, Genesis 39, verse number 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, talking about Potiphar, and he knew not aught he had save the bread, which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, and he goes down, we know the account here, and then, verse number 22, and the keeper of the prison, now he's in prison, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph, because he was faithful, that resulted in dependability. In dependability. This Potiphar could depend on Joseph. You know, maybe that you start a new job, and then the manager's there and said, hey, I just want to remind you that your shift starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And you show up 10 till 8 and you're there and you're on time. And then maybe after a couple of days, the manager keeps reminding you, but you keep showing up on time, actually early, showing up on time. You actually start working before your shift even starts and you've been faithful. Guess what? That manager, is he going to keep telling you what time to show up for your shift every morning? No, he's like, well, okay, he's got the message and he's being faithful. And then I said, well, you know, remember, don't be late. And then he's going to watch you and be faithful. And if you're faithful and you're dependable, you're always there at the same time, every day, day in, day out, week in, week out, month after month, he's going to say, you know what? This person's dependable. I think I'm going to give him a promotion. I think I'm going to make this person assistant manager because they're always dependable. They're always there. Every single job I tell them to do, they do it. I don't even have to worry about it. I give them an instruction. They do it. I don't have to check back on them and make sure that they did their job. Hey, this person's a faithful person. Every Christian ought to be that way. Amen. That if you're given a responsibility, if you're given a job to do, you've given an instruction that you do your best on it and that you do it in a timely manner and that you finish it and that so people will depend on you. Can God depend on you? God could depend on Joseph. Potiphar depended on Joseph. And he grew in it. He was given responsibilities. He was faithful in those responsibilities. It came to the place where Joseph was the manager of his house. And Potiphar didn't even know how much money he had. He didn't know how many possessions he had. He didn't know how much food he had. He didn't know how many servants he had. He didn't know, but he knew that Joseph wasn't going to steal from him. But he knew Joseph was doing a great job. He didn't even have to worry about it. He didn't think one thing about all those other things. He did the job that he had before Pharaoh. He didn't have to look after his house because he had faith in Joseph because Joseph was dependable. The same thing happened in the prison, that he was a prisoner there. But even as a prisoner, he's in charge of the prison while he's a prisoner there. He is making sure everybody's fed, make sure everyone's taken care of. If someone needs medical attention, he's taking care of it to where the keeper of the prison, I don't even know how many prisoners I have. Go talk to Joseph if you want to know who's here and who's not. And Joseph's a prisoner. He was faithful. And he was faithful year after year after year after year after year after year after year. And he had that glimmer of hope that he was going to be released from prison, that we see the butler and the baker, and we see what happened, and that they both promised, well, we'll remember you, we'll tell Pharaoh about your situation, and guess what? Joseph was disappointed because they forgot. And, you know, after all those years of faithfulness, and it seemed everything bad happened to him. He was just faithful, and everything bad seemed to happen to Joseph. His brothers turned against him, sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied about him. The butler forgot about him. All of these things. And you know what? He probably decided, it's no use being faithful because men don't see it. You know what Joseph's key was? He wasn't looking to be faithful in front of men. He wanted to be faithful to his God. And he was. And he was faithful, and he was faithful, and he was faithful. But then the day came that his faithfulness was blessed and recognized. And because of his dependability, he was given the prime ministership of Egypt. He went from prison to the prime minister, and he was able to save his family because of his faithfulness. Wow. Oh, that we would have that kind of faithfulness to God that Joseph had, that Moses had. Another area, third area, faithfulness results in immunity. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 4. So we're going to look at Daniel for a moment. In that, there was a time in the country of Babylon that Daniel was a very trusted man. He was a faithful man. He was trusted by the king. But then there came those that hated Daniel, those that wanted to see him destroyed, to see him killed, because they hated that he was recognized for his faithfulness and for his trust in God. And then the decree came in verse number four, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They were looking for an excuse to get rid of Daniel. They were looking for some hidden sin, some hidden thing, some hidden indiscretion. And guess what? Because he was faithful and he was wise and he was careful, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They couldn't find a problem. Why? Because he was faithful. They couldn't say, Daniel, you were late to work yesterday. They couldn't say that. Hey, Daniel, do you remember you promised to do this and you didn't do it? See, you're a liar. Everything he promised to do, everything he was instructed to do, every single thing, he was faithful and he did it. Every Christian ought to be like that. And this is the way, the key to blessing in every person's life, and the key to blessing here at Tabernacle Baptist Church this year and every year after. You know what? A church is built on faithful people. That's what churches are built on. We can have 200 people in here. If no one was faithful, we wouldn't have very much. But a church is built on faithful, consistent love and service to God. Faithfulness is not just being faithful in your responsibilities, but also faithful in your relationship to God, faithful in your relationship to the Word of God, faithful in your worship to God, not to have any other gods before Him, not to have self in charge, but faithfulness is a result of humbleness and meekness. We can think of some things in our life. You know, we look at people that perhaps have a lot of notoriety, people that have a lot of fame, and we say, oh, look at this. They can do this or that. They have this ability. They have this gift. And sometimes that can happen in the church. Well, they have this gift over here, or they have this ability over here. They're the most important. The most important person in any church is the faithful person, the person that is always there. You know, there's some things that there's some people in the church, I'm not going to mention who you are, but I consider to be a faithful person. I've told several people that. You know why? Because I can give them something to do. I don't have to think about it. Amen. I'm so thankful for faithful men in this church. When I'm away and preaching, I don't worry one little bit about this church because I've committed to faithful men that will take care of the services, that will take care of the preaching, will take care of everything. I don't worry one little bit about it. You know why? Because they have proven themselves to be faithful. Can that be said of you? All of us have areas where we can be more faithful in. What area is it? Maybe it's dependability. Maybe it's the responsibility area. By the way, if you have a Sunday school class or you teach in children's church or you teach any type of class, that is an area of great responsibility, and it's only been given to you because you've shown yourself to be faithful. But sometimes when we gain a responsibility, we can become unfaithful in it. We can become not as dedicated as we once were. We can begin to slack off and we say, well, since I have this responsibility, no, we need to maintain the same level of faithfulness and dependability and responsibility as we had when we first began. A consistency. People are looking for consistency today. You don't see a whole lot of it. You see people that do great for a while. They get saved and they grow in the Lord and they do great. And they'll do great for 1 year, 2 years, and maybe get to three, and then they start going down. Because guess what? The newness wears off sometimes. And being faithful is boring. Guess what? It's the boring things and the consistent things in life are many times the most important. Just doing what's right. Just being faithful. Being faithful to the Word. I mean, you can set their watch by. They wake up the same time every day. They have a routine. And they wake up every day and they take a shower or they get a cup of coffee and they read their Bible without fail. It's just a part of them. They're faithful in that. And they spend some time in prayer. And you know what? They're always going to be at church. Barring an epidemic of some kind or some kind of medical emergency or they're sick or something or work responsibility came up. But guess what? Any other time, they're there. They're faithful to God in worship because it's not about just going to church. We come here for a reason. We come here to worship God. We come here to learn of God. Faithfulness will also result in giving sacrificially. So it results in responsibility, dependability, immunity. What does that mean? No, they couldn't find occasion against Daniel. Well, then they created one because they knew Daniel only worshiped the one true God. So they decided to put out, to talk into the King Darius's ear and tell him, hey, why don't you proclaim yourself to be a god and that no one else can worship any other gods and everyone has to bow before you, worship you as a god. You know why they did that? Because they knew Daniel wouldn't do it. They were trusting in his faithfulness. They knew how faithful he was to God and how he prayed three times a day. They saw his faithfulness and said, hey, you know what? We can get rid of Daniel because we know he's not going to cave in, so we can get rid of him. But guess what? He was faithful. And he was cast into the lion's den. And he was eaten. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's that an angel came and closed the lion's mouths because God rewards faithfulness. And there's been many missionaries, many Christians throughout the ages who have been faithful unto death. That brings us to our last result. It'll result in giving sacrificially. In the last account, he's not only a person, he is a son of God, that of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Jesus was faithful. He was faithful to his heavenly Father. He was faithful in everything he did on this earth. And he was faithful unto death, the death of the cross. Because he was faithful to his Father. All throughout his ministry, we see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that we know the love of Christ, but Jesus died on the cross in obedience to his Father's command. We see that repeated over and over again in Scripture. He, even as a young boy, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And that every single thing that he did in his ministry, he did at the direction of his heavenly Father to be faithful, even the command to die upon the cross for the sins of mankind, to be mankind's sacrificial lamb. He was faithful. Let me ask you a question this morning. Well, let's first read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was faithful. He still is faithful. If you look at faithfulness, you look at the faithfulness of Christ, he is a faithful high priest. He is faithful to intercede on our behalf. He is faithful to save us. He is faithful to forgive us. He is faithful. All kinds of descriptions of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there a line in the sand for your faithfulness to God and to the Bible? Is there a line in the sand? Well, what do you mean a line in the sand? That you'll only go to so far, but then there is a place and a line that if it goes beyond that, that you're not doing this anymore? That I'm not going to be doing this ministry thing if this thing happens to me, if someone says something or someone does something, or if this kid throws something at me, well, I'm just not going to be faithful. I'm done. I quit. I give up. Maybe it's a line you have, John. Well, I'll serve God, but if God takes away one of my children, I'm not going to serve him anymore. I love God and I want to be faithful, but if this happens, there's a line in the sand. There's a condition in your mind or in your heart that I will serve God until this point comes. I'm not doing it anymore. Once it gets to that point, we ought not have a line in the sand. Jesus didn't. Daniel didn't. Daniel fully expected to die in that lion's den. But God spared his life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faced with a fiery furnace. They were bound and thrown into that furnace. They fully expected to die, and they told the king that. If God chooses to save us, then so be it. But if not, that's okay too. They fully expected to die there. They didn't expect to walk out of that. There wasn't a line in the sand to them because the most important thing in their life was to be faithful to their God. The most important thing in Moses' life was to be faithful to his God. The most important thing in Joseph's life was to be faithful to his God. That's why he didn't sin with Potiphar's wife. That's why he was still faithful. You guess what? If you're only going to be faithful because of what you're going to get out of it, you're going to quit real fast. But you are faithful to God, who has been and is and will be in the future faithful to you. We're faithful to him because we love him. That's why marriage vows state, till death do us part, because you're pledging your love and faithfulness to one another for the rest of your life. And that you're willing to lay down your life for your spouse and for your children. Why? Because you love them. Because you're faithful to them. Unfaithfulness creeps up in a lot of areas of our life. Well, the devil, I say, well, you've worked really hard. You know, you deserve a little bit of rest. Why don't you just ease off a little bit? Just ease off that Bible reading a little bit. Just ease off that prayer life a little bit. You know, you've been real zealous and real faithful at it for a long time. You know what? You deserve a little bit of a break. You can coast a little bit. Why just back off a bit? You've been real faithful in that Sunday school class and diligently getting your lesson ready a week ahead of time and praying over it and praying for your students. You've been faithful in doing that and getting things ready. You've been faithful in being there on time. You've been faithful. Guess what? You can coast a little bit. Maybe just don't prepare as long for that lesson this week. Maybe just kind of coast through. Maybe just wing it, you know. It's okay. You've been busy. Everybody understands. Oh, the devil's whispers are deceptive and they're lies. Because even though nobody saw how much you prepared for your lesson or for your ministry or for whatever responsibility you had before God, God saw it. God sees. And that's all Paul was concerned about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to be judged of God. If man say, they can say what they want. They can say I'm faithful or I'm unfaithful. It doesn't matter to me. What I really care about is if I'm faithful in my heart and in secret and outwardly to my Lord. If we're going to grow this year, we need to be faithful. Maybe the Lord's challenged you in an area that you need to be more faithful. Maybe there's an area of unfaithfulness in your life that you need to confess before the Lord and get right. But an opportunity is presented to you this morning. Are you going to be faithful this year? Are you going to dedicate yourself and your family to be faithful? Pastor, I'm going to be faithful to God this year. I want God to bless my life, and I want to be faithful. I want to be accounted in the eyes of God faithful, just like Paul did, just like Moses did, just like Joseph did, just like Daniel did, and just like Jesus did. We're in good company if we have that desire. What desire do you have?